Welcome to Wards of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
Our broadcast today is entitled, Be Strong and Be Brave. Today on Words of Grace, I want to emphasize a couple of different words that we just read for you in the title of today's broadcast, the word strength and bravery, or as we'll find a version of that word, a synonym for that word in the Old Testament, courageous, of great courage. You know, as I look around the world around me today, there are so many different trials that folks are having to face. There are sicknesses and tribulations. There are battles that people have to fight. There are folks that struggle with their children, those who are struggling in their marriage, people dealing with betrayal and brokenness, folks who are fighting substance abuse. And as we look beyond our shores in the United States, around the globe today, there are people who are struggling with persecution, who are having to be brave enough and strong enough, courageous enough in the face of enemies of Christ and enemies of the gospel to say, no, I believe in Jesus and I'm willing to suffer persecution for that. And so with that thought in mind, what I want to speak to you about on the broadcast today is being strong in the midst of these sort of afflictions and difficulties that are common in our lives. Certainly these things are common to man. We live in a broken world, a world that was ruined by the sin of Adam, and because of that it brings forth thorns and thistles. It is a hostile place to us. It's not our friend, this old world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world, and while the Lord will eventually deliver us from this present evil world, it's not His will in our day-to-day lives to take us from it, but He does pray that we are kept from the evil of it. And so whatever you're facing in this world, two traits, very masculine traits, I would add, that we need is strength and also courage or bravery. The little phrase, be strong, is actually a fairly common used phrase in the Bible. The phrase, be strong, is actually a fairly commonly used phrase in the Bible. It's not on every page or even in every book, but it's used in more than one occurrence during times of leadership changes or new eras, particularly in the nation of Israel, such as entering into the promised land in Joshua chapter 1, or when they're returning from Babylonian captivity to go back into Jerusalem after 70 years in exile in the hostile superpower nation, Babylon. And you even find an exhortation by the Apostle Paul, as we will close today in the book of Ephesians, to be strong in the Lord. Well, as we think about strength, what does it mean to be strong? I'm sure images of athletes or professional wrestlers or bodybuilders enter our minds when we think about being strong. But while there is such a thing as human grit and tenacity, physical strength, true strength comes only from God Himself. And God has been pleased many times to raise up unlikely heroes as it pertains to their own strength to obtain victory. We can all remember the story of David and Goliath. Who would imagine a little shepherd boy with a sling and five smooth stones going up against the giant who stood just a little over 9 feet tall with great muscles and training and agility? Who would have imagined that little teenage shepherd boy defeating a giant? And yet that's exactly what happened through the strength that God gives. And there are many other examples of unlikely heroes in God's Word who became strong through the strength that God gives. And so as we think about being brave and courageous and being strong, while there are times when we need to man up, as it were, quit you like men and be as strong as we can be in a physical sense, there's an inner strength that we have that only comes through Christ. And that's really what I want to emphasize for you on the broadcast today. probably the most obvious passage to turn to as we introduce our thought for you today on Words of Grace is the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul had just written about the afflictions that he had experienced and how he was given a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. And there was obviously a reason the Lord suffered him to experience that, lest he be exalted above measure. This is why God's children are not like the wicked in this world, as Psalm 73 says. We're chastened when we get too proud. We often invite affliction into our lives. It's much better to be humbled voluntarily, to humble ourselves, than it is for God to humble us through external means. But lest Paul should be exalted above measure, there was given unto him a thorn in the flesh. Here comes that old devil to buffet him. And it's often debated whether this messenger of Satan was a physical affliction or maybe the guilt of what Paul had done prior to his new birth experience on the road to Damascus. We really don't know. And anything that I would tell you would certainly be conjecture. But you could imagine the guilt Paul would experience as he looked back as the chief of sinners on what he did in his life prior to knowing the Lord. At the same time, we know that Paul experienced much physical affliction in his life. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked and floated around on driftwood. He was bitten by a serpent. He was beaten many times. He was whipped. Paul really experienced a life of great sufferings. In fact, that's what God says to Ananias when he sends him to Brother Saul, as it were. He's going to suffer many things in my name. He's a chosen vessel unto me, so go to him and bring him into the fold. And so is Paul dealing with guilt? Is he dealing with a physical infirmity like blindness? It's believed that he may have suffered from eyesight loss, vision loss. Or is this just the afflictions that come with the ministry? We really don't know, but what we do know is that this is a thorn. It's persistent, it's annoying, but it's also not a blade into the heart or a spear through the side of the head. This is a persistent, annoying sort of pest, as it were, a thorn, and it's in his flesh, and he just can't get it to leave him alone. And so he begs God three times that it might depart from him. And what does God say? God says unto him, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, when God says that to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee," he's not telling Paul, "Well, Paul, just get over it. I've already done enough for you in this world. I've given you grace. I've saved you. What I've given you already is enough. So just get out there and keep working. Get over it. Suck it up, buttercup," as it were. That's not what God is saying. When God says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee," he's giving him the source of the strength to be able to bear the trial, to be able to bear the burden. God isn't going to take away the thorn at this time in Paul's life. Now, eventually, there's a day when God takes away all the thorns and all the afflictions and all the sorrows of all of his people for all of eternity. But here, God says, "I'm not going to take away the thorn. I'm not going to take away the affliction. Rather, I'm going to give you the sufficient grace to bear the burden, to get through the trial, to endure. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Now, let me ask you a question, and I want you to think about this. If Paul accomplished things not by his own strength, but by the strength that God had given him, who gets the glory for Paul being able to endure the trial? Well, it's God that gets the glory. If Paul is effective in his ministry, despite the thorn in the flesh and the attack of Satan and all the things that he had to endure, if Paul is faithful, but he had no strength of his own, and he's operating under the strength of Christ, who gets the glory there? It's God that gets the glory. And so, as God says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness," he's telling Paul the source of the strength to bear the trial, but at the same time, he's also alluding to the fact that it is God who gets the glory, because if we do anything in this world, it is by God's grace that he has given us. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." And so Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul tells you a little bit of the things that he faces and gets through by the strength of Christ in his ministry. His infirmities, his illnesses, his sicknesses, his sufferings, his hungers, his reproaches, the people who hated him for the cause of Christ, necessities, he didn't have clothing sometimes, he didn't have housing, he didn't have the food that was necessary, and in persecutions, when he was beaten and whipped and arrested and stoned and left for dead. He took pleasure in all of that, in these distresses for Christ's sake, because when he is weak, then is he strong. And so we're speaking today about a type of strength that comes from Christ. It is not human physicality. It's not masculinity, even though these are masculine traits, courage and bravery. They're often connected with masculinity. This is something that comes from above. It is strength that comes from Christ. And as he said, as he ascended to glory and commissioned his ministry to go and to preach the word, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And we have access to his power and his strength, strength that enables us to bear the trials and to be faithful to him and to preach his gospel. Now, lastly, as we think about this, before looking at some passages, some exhortations to be strong, this strength is something that God provides us. And walking in the strength that God gives us is really one and the same with walking by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith that we have in our hearts is literally Christ in us, the hope of glory. Anything you do by faith, you do by the power of Christ in you. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. By faith, in Hebrews 11, men and women did amazing things, and as we know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Christ living in us is the source of faith, and so, as the old Baptists would often say, faith in us is Christ in us, the hope of glory, the intimate heart knowledge of God, literally Christ sent into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. But look at Hebrews chapter 11, and to borrow maybe some modern terminology, and forgive me in advance, faith is kind of like a superpower that you and I have to be able to endure these trials. Will you forgive me for saying that? It's a source of strength that you have in you, and it literally comes from Christ taking up residence in your heart. And so, look at Hebrews 11. Through faith, we understand. We understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's a source of strength that enables us to understand that God created this universe and a world that teaches us that He did not, that we evolved from single-cell organisms to what we are today. By faith, Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice than his brother Cain, and he obtained witness that he was righteous. He had the strength to do that, the ability to do that, the enabling to do that. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And that one's a great one to expand upon to show how faith here is more than mere mental assent, as it were. It's more than something you simply think, but it's literally Christ in you, because I don't believe Enoch sat down and tried to concentrate his belief so hard that he disappeared from this world. Certainly he was translated by Christ in him. And so faith here has reference to Christ in Enoch. By Christ in Enoch, he was translated that he should not see death. But this is a source of strength. Practically working that out in our own individual lives, that is a source of strength. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What gives you the strength to please God, as it were? Well, it's not your physicality. It's Christ in you. It's faith. By faith, we are able to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, there are many examples of God's people all through this Hebrews chapter 11, but I want to look at some of the last little statements that the writer of Hebrews brings to our attention here in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses chose to endure affliction, to suffer affliction, and he did this by faith. Certainly that took strength, that took tenacity, that took fortitude to say, I'm not going to align myself with Egypt when they are afflicting my people, and so I'm brave enough and strong enough to say no. Of course, then he went and hid for 40 years on the backside of the desert, but as you know, God spoke to him out of the bush that burned but was not consumed and sent him back into Egypt, and he stood before Pharaoh, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured seeing him who is invisible. He went and told Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses found strength in this faith that God had given him. But look at some of these that are mentioned in verse 32. You have Gideon and Barak and Samson. Those men are military commanders, aren't they? They certainly are. They're people who would fight with others. You have David, who, again, slew the giant. You have Samuel, who was a prophet, but he also had to go and take the sword from time to time. These people subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword. Look at this. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, which is not aliens as we understand it today, as in space aliens, but aliens as in invading militaries. What was the source of strength that these men had? Faith. What is faith? It is Christ in you, the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so through Christ in them, they waxed valiant. Out of their weakness, they were made strong. Faith is a source of strength in the heart of a child of God. Now, there's a couple of exhortations that I want to give you out of the Old Testament today. The first one of these is in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 9, give us the context of what's taking place. Just to give you a little bit of that summarized, Daniel has spent now more than 70 years in captivity. He was taken away as a young man into Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar conquered the city of Jerusalem. Daniel served faithfully his Lord in Babylon despite many afflictions and many trials. He and many of the Hebrews were so faithful to God through that entire 70 years of captivity. Well, Daniel has been fasting and Daniel has been praying, and he's going to see a vision. In this vision, he is going to see many things, but what opens this vision up is seeing Christ in all of his glory, the same way that John saw Christ in all of his glory in Revelation chapter 1. Daniel looks and he sees one who was clothed in linen. Well, that's very common in that day, but it's an important detail that you also find in Revelation 1. His loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. Now, that's another thing that represented Christ, that was true to Christ in Revelation 1. His body was like beryl. That's the color of Christ. His face is the appearance of lightning. Jesus' face shines as the sun, like lightning, in more than one place. The Transfiguration, Revelation chapter 1, other places such as that. His eyes were as lamps of fire. His arms and his feet were the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. That is exactly what John sees and expresses to us in Revelation chapter 1 as he sees Christ in all his glory, the resurrected Christ, as John is in the Spirit, in a vision, exiled to the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's day in Revelation. So Daniel here is seeing Christ. Now, this is before the incarnation, but Christ is eternal. And so he's seeing Christ as he has always been in glory. He's seeing an image of Christ, a depiction of Christ, just as John saw it in Revelation chapter 1. This is no mere angel, but this is the Lord of Lords. This is the second person of the Godhead, the eternal Son of God in glory. Well, when Daniel sees this, what does he do? You might think, well, he says, this is awesome. I get to see God in glory. No, when Daniel sees this, he is so afraid. His strength failed him. His comeliness was turned in him into corruption, and he retained no strength. He retained no strength. What are we talking about today? Strength and bravery, courage to be brave in the afflictions and the trials and the discouragements of this life, to be brave enough to stand for Christ, to be strong enough to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Daniel heard the voice of his words, and when he heard the voice of his words, then was he in a deep sleep on his face, and his face towards the ground. Now, what happens to Daniel, I believe, is that he faints. Like John in Revelation 1, he falls on his face as if he is a dead man. And then a hand comes and touches him and sets him on his knees and upon the palms of his hands and says, Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee. Sit up aright. Sit up, Daniel. Understand what I'm about to tell you. Now, in verse 12, he would tell him to fear not, but I want you to look at what God says to him in verse 19. O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. If you want a memory verse from today's study on the radio, I want you to consider verse 19, in particular, the language, Fear not, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. He will give you strength to face the trials of this life, to stand and to be counted. Now, another such exhortation as this that I want to share with you on the broadcast today is found in Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, something interesting is happening, and to the man it is happening to, well, it's probably a little bit overwhelming and terrifying as well. You see, in the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, God's servant, had died. Moses dies, the Lord goes and buries him. After the death of Moses, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, and as you see in Joshua 1, he basically appoints Joshua as the one who will lead Israel in after the passing of Moses. So Joshua jumps into this role that Moses had previously filled. Joshua here is also not a young man. Moses was not a young man. He was around 120. Joshua had wandered in the wilderness with Israel for some 40 years. He is well up in years by now, just like Daniel, just like Moses. But God tells him, Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, for the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, as I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now listen to verse 7. Here's the word to Joshua, the man taking over after Moses has passed away. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What beautiful language we find here in Joshua chapter 1. He's about to go in and face battles, military skirmishes. They're going to go in and take over a land that Israel was too afraid to conquer 40 years prior to this. And the people they were going up against were bigger and stronger and better equipped and better trained. And yet God says, don't be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. I am with you. Meditate upon my law, and you are going to succeed. And so Joshua, he commands the people, and he goes, and he leads them into the promised land. By the way, this is a beautiful depiction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses and his ministry ended, and Joshua takes over and leads them into the promises of God. Moses, in this as a type and shadow depicts the law, and Joshua in this story depicts the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, the word Joshua and the word Jesus are the same exact name in the Hebrew language. And so Joshua is a beautiful type of Christ or picture of Christ here in that what the law could not do, Joshua goes and does. There's a beautiful depiction of Christ and his redemptive work here in Joshua chapter 1. But what does he tell him? Be strong and very courageous. While we're on that subject, might I just say that there's never been a braver man than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the most brave man. He is the strongest man who has ever existed. He was brave enough to live a life as God incarnate, but even as a man, verily God and verily man, he was brave enough to live a life in perfect obedience to God and go to the cross and suffer for all of the sins of all of God's people throughout all time to endure the wrath of his Father and deliver us from our sins. Jesus is the most brave and strong man who has ever lived. Now, I'll just tell you that I'm not saying today on the broadcast that you and I will never be afraid. I'm not saying that there are not things in this world that will terrify us, because there most certainly are. If you're facing illnesses, a disease, a cancer, a heart problem, a surgery, if you've got a child that's gone awry, if your marriage is on the rocks, there are so many things in this world that you and I have to face that unless we are insane, they will terrify us. And so I want to acknowledge that, but I also want to direct you to Psalm 56 and verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. The psalmist here doesn't say, and I'll just give you the context of this. David is the psalmist here, and this is when the Philistines took him in Gath. David, the psalmist here, doesn't say, we have no reason to be afraid. He doesn't say, I never get afraid. He doesn't say, shame on you if you're afraid when you have received terrible news. No, he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. David says, I've been taken captive by a bunch of Philistines who want to take my life. Well, when I am afraid, Lord, I will trust in thee. Help me be strong. Help me be brave. Help me be courageous. I'm going to close our broadcast today with the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. The words of the Apostle Paul, the man who said that Christ's strength is made perfect in weakness, the man, I believe, the writer of Hebrews, who told us about many who, out of weakness, waxed strong by faith in Christ, literally the power of Christ in them. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on this whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And as you see in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It takes bravery to stand. It takes courage to stand. And it takes strength that only Christ can give you to stand against the forces of darkness in this world. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Again, I'm Ben Winslet, thanking you for listening to Words of Grace today, inviting you to write and let me know that you've received today's broadcast, and also to tune in again next week at this time. Until then, may the Lord's richest blessings be yours, is my prayer.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. And finally, Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.